Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, another day of Titans practice in the books, and another exciting day of Titans practice in the books. We have our full reaction from that, again, in the second day in pads. So, by the way, I have a bone to pick with The Athletic. I just pulled up their little Titans page, and the first thing that comes up is IndyCar's Music City Grand Prix could be Nashville's next big hit, joining NASCAR and SRX in the city's racing revival. I clicked the Titans logo.
Nashville, I don't know.
Whatever.
Got a need for speed, baby.
So, The Athletic has ranked every NFL defense from 1 to 32. And we all know the Titans defense was trash last year. They admit it. And they all say it's not going to be the same this year. Vrabel said they're going to get off the field on third down at the end of OTAs. Kevin Byard last week said nothing was good enough, but that he promises it'll be better. Rashawn Evans talked about it yesterday. Shane Bowen talked about it yesterday. They've all said it's going to be better. They all promise. So I decided, where do they rank the Titans on defense for this upcoming season? Remember last year, the Titans were 28th. So when I pulled this up this morning on my phone, I pulled it up and I just started scrolling all the way down because I figured the Titans would be towards the bottom. The Texans are dead last at 32, Dallas at 31, which is a shocker because with Dallas, I mean, you know, usually
I'm shocked it's not top 10.
Oh, I'm shocked Dallas
for
is
no reason
three.
Other
I mean,
than
Dallas.
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Cincinnati, they're terrible. Jacksonville, terrible. Raiders, usually terrible. Lions, terrible. Chiefs, a little surprised, see them at 26. Mm-hmm. Arizona, 25. I'm like, ooh, the Titans. I mean, they're not. 24. So last year, the Titans were 29th on this. Or I think like last season, they were 29th by, you know, the DVOA analytic athletic.com junior.
Percentage, whatever.
Yeah, metric, whatever. So the Titans are 24th, according to this. Quote, the Titans don't need their defense to be great. They just need it to be competent. And last year, it was not. Tennessee signed pass rushers Bud Dupree and DeNico Autry in free agency, along with cornerback Janoris Jenkins. In addition to the new guys, Tennessee brings back productive veterans like Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, and safety Kevin Byard. They get linebacker Jayon Brown back after an injury limited him to 58% of the snaps last season. Mike Vrabel named Shane Bowen the new defensive coordinator, and the Titans added Jim Schwartz as a senior assistant. On paper, this group should be better than it was a year ago. So there's not a lot of depth in that other than here's who's in, here's who was out, here's the change they made. So we all know that. Now, 24th. That's not good. But it's not horrific. Would the improvement from 29 to 24, which is, I believe, where they were in 2019, the AFC Championship game year, would that be enough? With this offense, would that be enough to make a run at a Super Bowl? The going up from 29th, which was so awful, so embarrassing. We all remember it last year. It hurt our hearts to watch. And they still were 11-5 and won their division and should have won their first playoff game. Would that be in the improvement necessary to really put them up there in the Buffalo and Kansas City conversation?
I don't think it's enough to get them to a Kansas City conversation. I think it's enough to get the Titans deep into the playoffs. I mean, you look at the Chiefs, they're 26, and the Titans defense is ranked a few spots above that. So under that same logic, you should think, okay, you don't really need necessarily an elite defense in order to make it to the Super Bowl. But do you want the Chiefs offense or the Titans offense?
See, here's my thing. And I don't know exactly, you know, however you want to rank it.
Mm-hmm.
I believe... This is what I believe. In fact, we need to have a Stillman & Company official decision right now. And we'll take a majority vote here. When we judge a defense, ranking on defense in the NFL is by total yards. So, for example, the 2000 Ravens, one of the best defenses in our entire lives, that team set a record for fewest amounts of points allowed. But the Titans that year actually had the number one ranked defense because they gave up the fewest amount of yards. So the true ranking in the NFL for total defense is yards. I find points to be a lot more important than I find yards. So when we discuss defensive ranking, is the default ranking of record on this show going to be points allowed or what the NFL goes by, which is yards allowed.
Points. You win games with points, not with yards.
Ian?
See, this is where this is a good question. This is actually gets to one of the points I was going to make about the Titans moving to 28 to 24 is one of the keys for the Titans this year is third down. So even if they are not giving up a lot of points, but they still can't get off the field on third down and giving up yards, I think we could have a little bit of an issue. But to answer your question, I'm going to prefer points as well.
Okay. Then my vote doesn't even matter. My vote would have been that too. So looking at point total, the 2019 Chiefs were seventh in the league in points allowed. I mean, we're not talking about, so this is a team that won the Super Bowl, seventh. Like, and I don't even think of that Super Bowl winning Chiefs defense. I didn't even think they were that great. I mean, they got beat here. Like, I don't think they're that great, but they were seventh in the league, the 2019 team. I mean, the Eagles, and now they had a great defensive line, and Jim Schwartz was their defensive coordinator. But the 2017 Eagles that won the Super Bowl were fourth in points allowed that season. Even the 2006 Colts, Peyton Manning's Super Bowl team that really wasn't that great, they were 23rd in the league in points allowed. But you have to go all the way back to 2006 to get there. And I'm thinking, okay, even they weren't 24th. They were 23rd. So
you're kind of splitting hairs there.
But see, that's my point, is all-time elite offense, right? Mm-hmm. One wide receiver is already in the Hall of Fame. Running back's in the Hall of Fame. Quarterback goes in the Hall of Fame this weekend. Coach is in the Hall of Fame. The other wide receiver is ultimately going to go in the Hall of Fame, even though he shouldn't. The general manager's in the Hall of Fame. All-time great offense. And 23rd was just enough. And if they were 24th and not 23rd, that little
that
hair
could have been
difference,
the difference,
is that the difference? I mean, this is, we're talking about the Super Bowl. Here's one thing that the Titans offense doesn't do a good enough job of. And the Titans defense certainly contributed to this last year by not getting off the field on third down. But the Titans offense is a quick strike offense. Now, I don't know if Todd Downing's going to change that. But when you think of a big physical running back or a powerful offensive line, you think of a team that wants to run 9-minute drives and score touchdowns by just going 6-3-4-6-8-13-4 and pass. And Tannehill is not, let's go outside the numbers, throw it 80 yards down the field. But he is, hey, let's trick the defense looking over here to the right. Let's throw it short to the left and then have the guy go run 40 yards with it. Tannehill is one of the best in the league at yards per attempt. And it's not because he's got a bazooka for a right arm. It's because they are very quick strike. Henry, when Henry gets going, there is a lot of 6-9-13-6-4, but usually there's like a 56 in there too. And what that does is that hurts the time of possession and it puts your defense back out there on the field more. And so I do foresee the Titans having one of the top scoring offenses in the league, but I don't know if it's going to help the defense here improve because they're on the field so much. Though, to Ian's point, they didn't get off. I mean, they were the worst in the league at getting off the field on third down. So that's why you were out there so long, is because you prolonged it. But 24th, like, that still probably isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. And that's what we're talking about around here. We know they're going to win the division. So, the 2009 Saints were 20th. So they won the Super Bowl. Guess what they were in offense?
Oh, top three.
They were first in points, first in yards. This team's probably not going to be first in points.
No.
And they're probably not going to be first in yards. So when you play Kansas City, are you going to be, is 24th going to be good enough? When you play Buffalo, is 24th going to be good enough? That's the question. 615-737-1025. Do you think if the Titans defense improves, and again, we're not asking about a monumental improvement here. I mean, the difference between 28th, or I guess 29th in this case, 29th and 24th is not night and day, but it is a legitimate difference.
And it's also based off of moves on paper that we also have to think about,
sure,
too. Because, yeah, it really does seem like the Titans' defense should improve. Could it improve more than 24? Is 24 the floor?
Is 24 the floor? No. The floor is last year.
Okay.
Like, if they're as bad as they were last year, would the improvements on offense make them at least a round better? Would Julio Jones in that Ravens game put you into Buffalo where you would lose? That's the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Julio Jones puts you into Buffalo and your defense is better, then you can you beat the Bills and get back to the AFC Championship game? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get to your reaction on that, 615-737-1025. Plus, there is one element that Shane Bowen, I asked Shane Bowen about this yesterday because I've noticed it in camp, that it is not a sexy radio topic. I know what are the buzzwords that get people worked up in radio. I know what, you know, the radio topics are. Like, when practice is over, they take a bunch of guys off to the sides, and you can stand 10 feet away and hear them talk. And I almost don't even really go over there because the guys that they bring over are like Tommy Hudson and Marcus Johnson. And if we played a Tommy Hudson clip, no disrespect to Tommy, but if we played a Tommy Hudson clip coming back from a break, you people would hear that and be like, who's that? When we play a Tannehill clip or a Lawan clip or a Henry or a Byard or a Vrabel, when we play clips like that, you all know who that is. So I care more about what those people say because those people are who you care about, and that's how radio works. So there's something about the Titans defense that is not radio sexy, but I'm bringing it up because I think it is monumental for an improvement from the Titans on defense. We'll get to that next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman and Company, we are always delivered by our friends at TriStar Moving. Nashville SC fans, join ESPN 94.9 this Monday, August 9th from 7 to 8 for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and TheGameNashville.com. Nashville or NSC Backstage, brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC.
What have you seen Kevin and Shane this year, just maybe getting around the field, maybe more than he did last year, getting around the meeting rooms a little bit more? Is that, you know, noticeable that he's the defensive coordinator only as opposed to a position coach?
Yeah, it's been a slight notice. I mean, it's been a slight, you know, slight difference. But honestly, I think even last year, I think Shane was, you know, obviously nobody on the defense played well enough. Like, we could just put that out there. So I don't want to make it seem like, oh, Shane was the fault or – no, nobody played up to their standard, starting with myself. So that's how I always look at everything. I always look at myself first. But I think Shane's been obviously more comfortable second year in the scheme, second year, you know, being at the helm, being, you know, pretty much calling the plays. And obviously, you know, going into a whole new offseason, there's a lot of different things that we look at and try to evaluate with ourselves in the defense. And it's still early in training camp, but, you know, as far as what I've seen, the type of stuff that I feel like we're going to be able to do this year, I'm pretty excited about, you know, the direction that we're headed.
It's Kevin Byard, and he's excited about the defense. Rashawn Evans yesterday, there's a lot of talk about the defense being better this year. The Athletic saying the Titans should have the 24th ranked defense in the NFL, and we asked, is that good enough to win a Super Bowl? Now, I know what works on the radio, and I know what doesn't, and I know what people click on, and I know what, and I get all the data, and I know, I've told this story before, but we used to have just spirited debates. Ian, you remember this. We had spirited debates on this show about Derrick Henry and not getting the ball enough because of DeMarco Murray, and then when Derrick Henry was not getting the ball because of Deion Lewis, and we probably talked about Derrick Henry when he was the backup. What, Ian, twice, three times a week, every week?
Yeah, he was a polarizing topic.
And I did it because Corey Curtis told me that when he hosted the coaches show on News 2, and they had Derrick Henry on his rookie year, that the ratings on News 2 spiked when they had Derrick Henry on, which told me that Derrick Henry was popular. So then we just started talking Derrick Henry like literally every day. And it worked. And so I know what's like a sexy radio topic. This is not.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about snap counts, and this is about how much they're going to use guys on defense. So last year, the Titans had no depth, and they didn't trust whatever depth they had. For example, Kevin Byard played 98.5% of the defensive snaps.
Oh my gosh.
That's pretty much every snap Kevin Byard was on the field. Malcolm Butler, 96. And your DBs are going to play a lot. Like, you're not taking your starting corner out to put a backup corner in to give them a rest. They're not like the fat guys. But the fat guys shouldn't play that much. The third most snaps on the defense at 93 really 94% when you round up. At 94% was Harold Landry. So you think, okay, Harold Landry's starting outside linebacker. He should play a lot of snaps. He's supposed to be a good player on the defense. Kansas City, for example, has their top pass rusher, Frank Clark. And remember what percentage Harold Landry played, right?
94.
Close enough. Frank Clark played 70% of the Kansas City Chiefs snaps. Defensive tackle, Jeffrey Simmons. We think Simmons is a bad boy. Simmons, 75% of the Titans snaps. Chris Jones on the Kansas City Chiefs last year, who's a badder boy than Simmons right now, 64% of the snaps. They played those guys too much. So they can't get off the field on third down. So those guys are playing more snaps, and they're playing
and a higher percentage
of the snaps. And they're not getting any rest because there's no depth, and they wouldn't take Clowney out of the game either. And so they wouldn't bring in those backup guys. Well, I've been at camp, and I've been noticing John Simon, number 59, who was just signed but has a lot of NFL experience. John Simon, Tierre Tart, number 93 on the defensive line. Larrell Murchison, number 91 on the defensive line. We know Autry's going to be in there. There's another guy, 97, Tevin Coley, who I don't know anything about, but he's been in there, and I keep seeing him show up there. And they've got Derek Roberson, who looks to be healthy and back in the fold, and Wyatt Ray and Rashad Weaver. And so there are guys, there are bodies. And I can't tell you how good these guys are because I don't know when you've got pads on for 2 days, but they look like they're making an impact, especially Tart and Murchison. So can they rotate these bodies in to give Harold Landry a breather, to give Bud Dupree when he shows up a breather, to give Simmons a breather? And I asked Shane Bowen about that yesterday. Here's what Shane said.
Last year, you guys had really high snap counts for guys like Harold and Clowney when he was healthy. With the addition of Simon, Autry, and the improvement in Tart and Murchison, do you perhaps maybe see rotating guys in that front seven more early throughout the game so that they're fresher in the fourth
quarter? Absolutely. You always want to be able to keep guys fresh, especially in the fourth quarter. As you guys know, like, every game is close in the NFL. Like, you got to be at your best in the fourth quarter. And developing that depth, like, we've seen flashes. But, again, it goes back to consistency with those guys, who we can count on come Sunday, play in and play out. But the more depth we have at those positions, the better off we're going to be, and we'll be able to roll and do all those types of things that ideally we want to be able to do.
So that was good. And then I said to him after that, I followed up by saying, do you think that these guys give you that? Because anybody's going to say, hey, the more quality players you got, the more depth you have, the better you'll be. And I think that's good. Okay. But do you feel? And he said, yes. He said, right now he does. I mean, look. He said there, you know, if you have guys you can put in and trust play in and play out, and that, you're not going to be able to trust Tierre Tart play in and play out. You're not going to be able to trust Larrell Murchison play in or play out. You're not going to be able to trust John Simon play in or play out. But you're going to have to trust him some, because you can't have Harold Landry playing 94% of the time. Harold Landry's sack numbers went down last year because you can't have him playing 94% of the time.
Because he's exhausted.
Right. He's not Michael Jordan. And even then, Michael Jordan had to go to the bench. Like, we all saw the Milwaukee Bucks play a couple of months ago in the NBA Finals. Giannis had to go to the bench. You can't play the guy the whole game. So even though I don't think that's like a sexy radio topic, I think it's a very important element as to whether or not this defense is going to improve, is will Vrabel put those guys in the game so that Big Jeff can rest, so that Denico Autry can rest? Because when I was a kid, Jim Washburn was the defensive line coach. And I think Washburn was a legendary defensive line coach. And his whole mentality was, give me everything you've got on every snap, and then I'm taking you out. And so they'd rotate guys in there. They'd have Kevin Carter and Albert Hainsworth and Javon Kearse. And everybody knew those guys, because they'd sack the quarterback, Kyle Vandenbosch, the high motor guys. But it was because of guys like Josh Evans or Henry Ford or Carlos Hall or Travis LeBoy or those guys that would rotate in on the defensive line, Jason Fisk, that would rotate in so that Javon Kearse could get a rest, so that Albert Hainsworth could get a rest, and that Albert Hainsworth could go out there and be 100% again. And last year, the Titans played Simmons every play. They played Landry every play. They played Clowney every play until he got hurt. They played those guys every play. And I'm looking at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs are playing Chris Jones, you know, 15% less of the time that you're playing Simmons. That's not right. They're playing Frank Clark 20% less than you're playing Harold Landry. That's not right. So I think it's a huge thing going forward. Mike Giardi covers the Titans kind of for NFL Network. So he's got like seven teams that he follows, and the Titans are one of them. And Giardi was at practice the other day, and I mean, Mike Giardi and I go way back. I mean, when I first got my career started in New Hampshire as like a little radio guy, Giardi was the main anchor on what was then Comcast Sportsnet New England, which is now NBC Sports Boston. But he was the main anchor, and he covered the Patriots and the Bruins, and Giardi's a great guy. And he and I were talking at camp the other day, and John Simon was out there, and he said, and he's based out of Foxborough and really covers the Patriots. I mean, it's like Mike Giardi's number one thing is the Patriots, and then there's like five other teams that he follows. Titans are one of them. And Giardi said to me that John Simon is the kind of guy who you can't play him every snap, but if you can give him 15 good snaps, he'll give you 15 good snaps a game. And when I heard that, I thought that's all they need. They need 15 snaps, 20 snaps to put Simon in and take Landry out and just give him a break. Like, that is a big deal to me. And again, Tart and Murchison are two guys. Murchison was a fifth rounder last year. Tart was an undrafted free agent. Those two guys, I think, are playing so well in camp right now with the pads on, even against the first team, that I would love to see, especially early in games, a rotation where Autry goes out or Simmons goes out, and one of those other two guys stays in there, but you feel comfortable with Tart and Murchison that you can rotate them all through, so that then when the game's on the line and you got Carson Wentz and his bum foot and his bum shoulder and his bum knee and his bum hip and his bum whatever, that is bum,
he's just a bum.
He's a bum. That you can then send Simmons and Autry after him. That's what I want. And I think that's a big deal. And it didn't get talked about enough last year, because we all looked at the roster, we're like, what are they going to do? Put in Wyatt Ray and Tazar Skipper. But this year, you got Simon. You drafted Rashad Weaver. I mean, just put the bodies out there. Just put them out there. Just so that you not. I'd rather take a bad player and put him out there and lower Landry's snap count than have Landry out there all the time and then have him be ineffective because he's so tired. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got a lot of reaction in the text line on defense. So, you know what? It's the fan show. I feel like we should let the fans get their thoughts in, and we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. We are rocking and rolling on Stillman & Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Nashville SC and the New England Revolution have a huge game tonight that will first place in the Eastern Division is in the balance. And that is tonight. Join us for a fun watch party at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, where you can enjoy great beer specials on Heineken. Plus, they will be giving away tickets to the next Nashville SC home game. Mark your calendar to watch Nashville SC take on New England tonight at 6 o'clock at Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House, 1003 Russell Street in East Nashville. Ian, you are our Nashville SC correspondent. What are your thoughts on that game tonight?
That should be a fun game. Nashville SC has been playing well. They were able to get a draw in their first game of this little road trip up in Toronto the other night. They're playing very well. I would anticipate something similar, kind of a shutdown kind of game, or at least Nashville, I think, will try to shut them down defensively. And I'm looking forward to it. I'll have to skedaddle, maybe watch a little bit of it here before I leave, early kickoff at 6, but it should be a good one.
I'm looking at the New England Revolution roster. I'm trying to see. I used to have a buddy that, oh, yep, still on the team. Andrew Farrell. Good guy. Real good guy.
Go, Andrew.
He was the number one pick at one point. And he went to Louisville. Great guy. So, yeah, always weird. Always weird. I'm at this weird age where, like, I have friends that are playing the teams that I cover now, but that's only going to last for, like, 2 or 3 more years, and then all those guys are going to be too old. And they'll all retire, and they'll all be whatever. And I'll still be doing my job. 615-737-1025. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Christian Fulton Duke's ability to take on a much bigger role this year, given all the changes in that unit?
Yeah, I mean, he's been out there. He's been working. I'm, you know, confident in Christian. Just continue to work on his consistency. I mean, you saw him. You know, one thing was cool. He got beat. You know, Josh caught a pass on him early in camp, and he came back with the same route and was able to stay square and not back up, and he got an interception on it the second time around. So those are positive things that when you, you know, make a mistake, that you come back and you recognize it and you learn from it. And, you know, he took advantage of the same coverage and the same route and got it, made a play.
There you go. That was Vrabel on Christian Fulton. And I can't tell you if Christian Fulton's going to be good this year because he gets beat a lot. Then he also makes good plays in practice. Same with Jackrabbit Jenkins, honestly. And I think we're just going to be frustrated by both guys at times, and we're going to love both guys at times. And I think that's where we are at the corner position. We have been talking about defense. The Athletic just ranked 1 to 32 defenses in the NFL. They have the Titans at 24, which will be up from 29. You wonder if that's good enough. Let's go to your phones. As promised, text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton is on that. What do we have in there?
Fred in Ashland City texts in and says, I'd be okay if the defense had a rough first couple of games that messed up the stats, but after the first month, once they have experience together, they better be top 15. The players they have are too good to be worse than that.
So I don't think they can be top 15. Like, I think I'm just being realistic here that I think a 17th ranked defense, 20th ranked defense, like, they're not good, but it's a lot better than it was last year. Like, that's probably the best you can ask for. When Dean Pease was here, you know, because, again, we all know how I feel about Dean. But when Dean Pease was here, they weren't pulling in the third-ranked defense or anything like that. I mean, they weren't great. In 2018, for example, and that was a year where they were great at bend, not break, but then every now and then they give up the big home runs, which were just infuriating. They were third in total in points allowed. And that was probably the best that they'd ever be. But then a year later, when they were actually good, they dropped to 12th. This is not going to be better than a Dean Pease defense, is it?
I don't see it taking such a jump from last year.
I think it's pretty incredible, though, that when Dean Pease was here, I mean, they were third and 12th, and then last year they were freaking terrible.
They were terrible last year. And I think you also have to take into consideration, sure, you can have talented pieces, but how do those talented pieces work together with the other parts of the defense? And also, how do they work with their defensive coordinator?
That being said, they can't work worse.
That's,
like, they can't work worse.
That's true. But just because they can't work worse doesn't mean that they're going to work exponentially better.
No, I mean, the two things to get excited about on defense, the two things to get excited about on defense, Dupree and Farley, there's nothing to be excited about right now.
I think it goes back to our conversation yesterday. We were talking about Tennessee Vol fans and how can they be excited for this year. And
I said, we will get to in like 5 minutes.
We will. And I said, you know, they're not looking for a national championship team. Just any steps forward is enough for the Tennessee Vol fans, in my opinion. And I think that the Tennessee Titans defense is the same way. Any steps forward will take. That's fine.
No, because you're trying to win the Super Bowl. You know, that's like the Vol fans. It's like if they can win a game that they shouldn't win, they should be excited about that.
Do you think this defense can win a Super Bowl?
I don't know. I mean, Peyton had a terrible defense in Indy and won a Super Bowl.
But
Breeze
Peyton.
Had a terrible.
Yeah, Brady.
I mean, you're talking about, not Brady. Brady's always had good defense. You're talking about trying to win a Super Bowl here, and you're going to have a good offense. So, no, I don't think you can, but they're going to try. What's next?
Ricky texts into the text line and says, defense will be in the top half. We can beat the Bills like we did last year easily. They aren't that good. Chiefs are the only team that can score with us.
So I don't get this thing about the Buffalo game last year. I just don't get it. I need everybody out there to forget about that game. Josh Allen threw a ball that got tipped in the air and was intercepted. And I believe Malcolm Butler made another play in that game. And Malcolm Butler, by the way, is not here anymore. But that was the one game where you turned him over and your offense lit him up. And I don't know what happened.
That was a fluky game. I mean, yeah, that was the COVID week. So
I don't know if, like, Buffalo looked at it and said the Titans have practiced once in 2 weeks. And because of that one walkthrough that they had, they're not going to be good enough. And the Titans punched him in the mouth. I don't know.
Wasn't that on, like, the Tuesday?
It was the Tuesday night game.
It was, so everything was out of whack For sure.
And I remember Floyd saying, you know, hey, if they win this game, then we can start talking about the Titans being good. Or if they take it to Buffalo, then we can talk about the Titans being good. And then after the game, he was like, yeah, it was just so fluky. I just can't get excited about that. And he was right. And the next week, Pittsburgh came in here, and you couldn't get off the field on third down. Ben had a field day. So I think we've got to forget about the Buffalo game. Buffalo is a good team. They are well coached. They have a good quarterback. They are a good team. And you are not just going to blow them out of the water. Like, you beat Kansas City 2 years ago, too. But nobody's banking on that fluke of a game to be the standard as far as KC's concerned. I mean, I think, you know, with all those teams, Ravens, Cleveland, hard for me to get behind the Steelers right now. Hard for me to get behind the Colts. But with those two plus Buffalo and Kansas City, forget about the past matchups. Look at what they've got now. Look at how you compare to them. So I do want to get to this coming up next. Joe Rexrode at Vol Media Day. I thought was the biggest waste, and I'm not his bosses, but I thought it was the biggest waste of a day for Joe Rexrode to go to Vol Media Day. And I think that because, as I said yesterday on the show, we talked to Trevor Maddich. I said to Trevor, Trevor, I can't get excited. What am I supposed to do to get excited about this Vols team? Like, what can I do to get excited? And Trevor's like, well, you know, and then he goes on and on. But I said, we'll see what Joe's column is. We'll see what Joe's column is, and that'll tell us. And it did. Next. Still in a company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The thing to get excited about is not thinking, well, this is the year they're going to knock off Alabama and Georgia and Florida and win the SEC. No, don't be thinking about that right now if you're looking for a reason to be excited. Be excited that the offense has a chance to be one of the most dynamic, especially in the passing game, in the SEC. And then you can build off of that ray of light.
That was Trevor Maddich yesterday on our show. Hey, be excited for Vol football. It might not be awful. They might score a little bit. They might. And as I said yesterday on the show, and I was just saying this. This wasn't something that I thought was going to be like a legitimate hour of content. But I literally just said, I just don't think people are excited for Vol football. Like, I don't, if you work on the radio in Knoxville, I don't know how you fill 4 hours. Like, here we got the Titans, we got the teams the Titans might play, we got practice, we got, you know, Super Bowl contenders, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, an interesting coach. Like, there's a lot we can fill 4 hours with here. Knoxville, I almost feel like if you're talking Vols on your show in Nashville, if you're talking Vols on your show, it's like you're almost forcing it. Like, it's literally like, well, we know there are a lot of Vol fans who live in Nashville, so we need to find a way to squeeze 15 minutes of Vol talk in there. So it's all the same stuff, right? Like, you bring on somebody from VolQuest, and you ask them questions like, what do we think about the starting quarterback battle? Or, oh, what do we think of recruiting? You know, like all the same typical stuff. And they tell you all the same stuff. But that doesn't really get me excited. That's just generic. Like, that's just filler. Mm-hmm. That's just, hey, we need to talk 10 minutes of Vols. Let's just talk 10 minutes of Vols, which we don't do really a lot of. So I said, okay, Joe Rexrode wasted his entire day yesterday to be at Media Day. And let's see what he writes about. Because if he writes about something exciting, then that will tell you that there is something to be excited about. Did you see what Joe wrote?
I did see what Joe wrote.
Okay, the headline. I clicked it, but I had already made up my mind that this was going to be the topic before I read it, which Joe usually gets so worked up about. He's like, you didn't read the headline, you don't read the article, you don't read the article. But I decided when I saw Rexrode, Josh Heupel's Vols are trying to tell a good story, if you're listening.
Are you hooked?
I'm like, oh my God, this is what Joe's talking about. Joe Rexrode. And like, I know I bash on Joe a lot, and most of the time, rightfully so. But Joe is a good writer. Like, he is a good columnist. Now, his columns are bad, but he is a good writer. He knows what he's doing. And so he wastes a day going to Knoxville, spends it all there, you know, talking to Heupel and the players and the... And his takeaway from Media Day was not this player could be a star that could change the future of UT football. Not this is what's holding UT football back. Not it is, Well, this coach lets us talk to the players, and the last coach didn't let us talk to the players. And that was what he came up with. There is nothing interesting about the 2021 Tennessee Volunteer football team. Nothing. And not only that, I asked today at practice, I asked David Beauclair, I turned to him, and Bokey's been here for, I don't know, forever. And I said to Bokey, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most excited you could be for Vol football, what are you? And he said, gosh, I don't know, a 2?
And not
started,
a 1.
And then started talking about all the reasons that he's not excited for Vol football. So that's a media guy and, you know, a very well-versed media guy. So I texted my girlfriend, who, as you would agree, is not a well-versed media guy.
Fair.
Okay. She is a diehard Tennessee Volunteer fan. No matter how much she wants to pretend that she doesn't love the Vols anymore, she does.
She loves the
she
Vols.
She loves the Vols. On a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most excited you could be, how excited are you for Vols football this year? She replied, a 2. So David Beauclair and my girlfriend, who are probably the difference in age is
polar
probably,
opposites.
What would you say the difference in age is? 35 years between the two?
Yeah.
Okay. So both of them are a 2 on the 10 scale. Joe Rexrode spends a whole day there. Now, I'm not going to bash on Knoxville, but it's not my cup of tea. He spends an entire day there listening to these players, listening to these coaches, and his takeaway is, hey, this coach lets us interview the players, and the last coach didn't. Whoa! It's just, woo, can't wait! Yeah! Yeah, bring on Bowling Green week one.
I think, okay, well, let's not trash week one games, okay? Everyone has a cup, not everyone, but most people have cupcakes week one. I think it's the principle of all of it, that Josh Heupel feels like the antithesis of everything Jeremy Pruitt was.
That's what every coach is. Every coach. It's so
funny. But then again, Jeremy Pruitt was everything that Butch Jones was, and everyone was so excited for Jeremy Pruitt to be a breath of fresh air, and it didn't work out.
I tried to watch the spring game this year, and I did, but it was painful. First of all, you know I hate spring football.
Yeah.
But I tried
because
to
watch.
Because
you hate college football, but.
I hate spring football. So I watched the spring game because I want to see these quarterbacks play. And they have like these SEC network cuts, you know, of Josh Heupel behind the scenes. And at one point, he's lecturing the team, we can only get 1% better today. We're going to get 1% better today. Get 1%. That's all we can do. Get 1% better. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what Butch Jones did. And now everybody's loving this now because there's the Pruitt gap in
because
between.
Because it is what Pruitt wasn't.
Butch was a BSer, and everybody ate that up. Then Butch didn't win games, and everybody hated it. They brought in Pruitt, and it was like, thank God this guy's not a BSer. Because the other guy was a BSer, this guy's not. And then they brought back in a BSer, although Heupel might like actually be able to back it up. I don't know. But they bring in a guy who's giving you the BS that Butch gave you, and it's like, oh, he's so much more open than Jeremy Pruitt. And it's all like the same person. I used to do this when I was younger, where I would go out with a girl who was beautiful, and then we'd break up. And I used break up loosely. Like, we'd stop talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'd go out with someone who's really smart.
Didn't do it for you.
Then I'd go out with someone who was really beautiful. Then I'd go out with someone who was really smart. You know, luckily I found somebody like, you know, checks both boxes. But at the same time, like, that is what the UT fans are doing with Coach. But Joe's article I thought was incredibly self-serving. Like, Joe was like, oh, thank God I get to talk to more players now because the media is so important. And, like, no fans actually care about media access. Like, they don't.
Well, they care about the fruits of the labor of media access.
We're not allowed to say who plays what position at Titans camp. And I don't think Titan fans care. Like, I don't think that if I were to get on here and be like, they won't let us tell you who's playing right tackle. Like, which I think is a little ridiculous.
But I think they enjoy hearing about Titans camp.
Well, sure. But I don't think there's like, I don't think Pruitt's lack of access is what bothered the fans. I think Pruitt's lack of winning is what bothered
them. That's the thing. That's the core of it all, is everyone liked what Butch Jones was selling because Butch Jones was selling wins and family and tradition and all the blah, 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 all the floof. And then he didn't win. And then Jeremy Pruitt didn't win. When you go to the core of it, if you can win, nobody cares what you act like. You think people in Massachusetts are upset with Bill Belichick kind of being a mean guy in interviews?
No, but
he wins games.
It will not work when you go 7-9. Like, that's the one thing.
But if you win games, it doesn't matter.
Bill's got to learn. It's not going to work when you go 7-9. That being said, though, I don't think people care.
No.
Like, I don't think, like, the idea that, okay, great. So Joe gets to talk to the four quarterbacks at UT, none of whom we think are any good. Like, now Joe did say something today at practice, we were talking about this, that he thinks that once camp gets going and they're, you know, UT puts out videos and it's like, oh, wow, look at Jalen Hyatt, and oh, wow, look at Joe Milton, and oh, wow, look at these guys, that the fans might get excited. But I'm just saying, there is nothing exciting this year about Vol football. There's nothing. And I think you started yesterday trying to argue with me that you were right, that there is something that's interesting about Vol football. And I think now that you've realized that everybody is not excited about Vol football because there's nothing to be excited about, that you now realize that essentially that I was right yesterday.
No, I will never will I bend the knee to you, first of all. Second of all.
The one thing about this show, you're going to have to admit when you're wrong.
I'll admit when I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm wrong. I think that people are excited about the possibility. And I said that yesterday, and I go back to that. I think people are excited about the history that Josh Heupel has had, being able to, you know, instill these high-powered, fast-paced offenses. It's the excitement of the unknown and the possibility.
How can you be excited about the history Josh Heupel has? He took over a program, and they got worse over time.
In UCF?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not like he's got Bobby Bowden's track record. You know, like, Ian, what's your, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most excited you could be about Vol football, what are you?
2.
I mean, come on, nobody. Caroline, there's nothing to be excited
but
about.
But I'm not a Vols fan. That
doesn't mean that we're not going to watch. It just means that it's not exciting because we all know they're going to suck.
I know. I just have a lot of people in my life that are diehard Vol fans.
But even they know it.
And they say that they, Dylan doesn't care. And then Dylan and I got an argument about last night because he thinks that they could go 7-5. And I said, you are bonkers. And then he says he doesn't care. And
now
I'm like, yes, you do care.
Your dad might be the kind of guy who hopes that, like, every year, you know, this could be our year.
My dad texted me yesterday the Vols could win 8. And then an hour later he said, maybe 9. So my dad, I don't think, is the best evaluator of Vol football, because every year is 98, baby.
So for all of us that live on planet Earth, like, this is, there's nothing exciting about this team. There is nothing. And you know, everyone's got to play the cupcakes, and I'm not knocking, you know, the bully. Like, even that's not exciting. Like, they could win that game 35-3. And it's not exciting because you're supposed to kick the crap out of that
team. Well, cupcakes are never exciting.
But you're supposed to beat the crap out of that team. It's, you know, like, I
think the lack of ceiling kind of hurts the team, right?
I think two things hurt the team. I think the lack of ceiling is a problem. And I think the second thing is the first year of a coach where you know you're going to be bad,
mm-hmm.
they've been through that enough.
But there is some curiosity. There's some curiosity there to see what they look like with a new coach. No?
I don't think, like, I think when you know that they're going to be bad,
that kind of hurts that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when Pruitt took over for Butch, we knew they were going to be bad. But, you know, hey, let's see what Pruitt's bringing. Let's see what he's. And it's like, okay, we can do that with Heupel, but we still know it's going to be bad. So it's like, even if they lose, you're not going to be mad at Heupel. You're going to be like, oh, Pruitt ruined everything for them. And it's, I just don't see any excitement. I believe that I am like the parent of the Vol fan base, which is that every time I tell you what you need to hear and they don't listen, every time, it is so, so frustrating.
You're the friend in an abusive relationship.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time. I said don't sign Jeremy Pruitt to an extension. They didn't listen. I said don't sign Rick Barnes to an extension. They didn't listen. He's going to lose in the first round of the NCAA tournament next year too, and then they'll be mad. And I'm like, I told you guys. Coming up next here on Stillman and Company, I am ready to rule the Indianapolis Colts out. I've already been doing that for like the last couple of days. So, who are the teams that matter when it comes to the Titans? And who are the teams that don't matter? this year when it comes to the Titans? And are we too cocky for feeling this way? Next, Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.